You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Wednesday morning. We are getting ready for Notre Dame on Saturday. It is the middle hump day of Notre Dame week. Joined by Ben Kenny. My name is Asher Lowe. This is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin athletics, football and basketball specifically. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Wisconsin sports. Find us on Apple, Google, Spotify. If you're on Apple, make sure you hit that follow button and scroll down and leave a review. If you're on Spotify, make sure you follow us. If you are on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, the show account, make sure you are following to know when we post episodes, who's going to be on the episodes, what we're talking about, all that good stuff posted on Twitter at Locked On Badgers and our personals at ALOW underscore 33 and at Ben Z Kenny. Today, it's all about keys to the game from our perspective. Wisconsin Notre Dame, Saturday, 11 Central, 9 Pacific for some. It's Wisconsin Notre Dame. It's keys to the game. We also have to talk about Quintez Cephus because he absolutely went off. Two career highs yesterday set by the former Badger wide receiver on Monday Night Football, and it was a Packer win, so everybody listening is happy. Best of both worlds. Cephus plays great. Packers win the game, Ben. It was an awesome Monday Night Football scene. We're going to get into all our keys to the game as well on today's show.
Good morning. What's up? Do you want to put a music twist on this? Because I tweeted this out earlier, and I want to say it on the podcast. Asher, do you know my anthem for the week?
Is it allowed on Spotify and Apple?
Yes.
What is it?
So I don't normally do this, but you know, I woke up in a mood. I hosted the Bill Michaels show today. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Hosted the Bill Michaels show today. Talked a lot of Packers, obviously, but also got into Wisconsin and Notre Dame. Good for You by Olivia Rodrigo. We're seeing Jack Cohn happy and healthy for Notre Dame, and you know, it's like it's a vibe when you think about the setting.
I can't play the song, but I could sing the song. I think I'm not gonna sing the song either. We're not gonna do that. But
I did it on radio today.
That is the spirit. I think you think she wrote that about Jack.
I think if she had been here at this school, I would not doubt that that would be the case. Asher, I sung it on radio today because Ebo didn't know what the song was. I don't know. We were talking about Jack Cohn and the whole thing. I was trying to explain to him why there was never a choice between Jack Cohn and Graham Mertz, because the whole narrative about after the game, people might say, oh, Paul Chris should have chosen Jack Cohn. It's like, no, that is not the case, as we've discussed. So I outlined the song. He's like, oh, yeah, I've never heard of it. It's like, what?
Do people still not realize that there was?
Oh yeah. Oh, there is a large facet of people that do not realize that at all.
So what were some of the calls you got today surrounding that, or over the week? What are some of the calls you've gotten surrounding Mertz and Cohn, and Mertz versus Cohn, and Cohn should have been the guy that they chose, and all that?
Well, we didn't get many calls today because our phones were broken. Long story.
That would happen. But text part line, what do you got? What do you got going on there over there?
Twitter comments. We're live on twitch.tv, so there's also those comments on there. And there was a lot. The thought is, one, why did Jack Cohn dress for the second half of last season? You know, like there could have been an opportunity for him to come back, which I don't think was true. I think he already knew he was transferring by then. And also Chase Wolf was still the guy coming in. Like Cohn wasn't going to come back and play. And they said, yeah, but like they still could have gone to him after and done something to keep him around and maybe had him compete this year, which like, I agree. Jack Cohn, I think, would have won the job entering the year, but he was never going to be here. Like that was just never a realistic possibility. But Asher, it's a storyline that's inevitable at this point because it's all like the legs are running and people have literally run a marathon with it so far.
It is inevitable, and it's also wrong, and it kind of disappoints me that we still have this whole Paul Chryst made the wrong choice as if he had any choice at all, which he didn't. And I couldn't really say it better than I tried to write it at Badgers Wire. I tried to write the whole timeline. I know you reposted that today, but if you guys haven't read that article, check it out at badgerswire.com. An opinion piece on Mertz, Cohn, that whole timeline, just reminding people what the order of events were, because I think people sometimes forget about the foot injury entirely. Ben, and kind of forget why he didn't play last year. They forget when it was clear he was transferring, which was not at the end of the year. That was clear way before then.
No, I believe that was before the Iowa game.
Yeah, it was actually announced, I think, before the Iowa game, pretty much.
I think it was announced.
Not officially, but I think it was somebody said something that was trustworthy. I forget.
Yeah, who, but, that could be the case.
But it wasn't announced by the team or anything.
Asher, do you think the FCC or whatever regulators in this whole industry will be on my case if I play good for you right now?
Yes.
Do you think that's allowed?
Yes. And funny story about that, I once got busted for playing Hotel California, and I didn't even have the lyrics in it. It was just that beginning guitar part, and I got busted for it on a WSUM podcast. Shout out Madison, Wisconsin Student Radio over at University of Wisconsin, WSUM. But before my days as sports director, I was a freshman radio DJ, and I got busted for – or a sports host, really, not a radio DJ. But I got busted for a podcast, Ben, because you're allowed to play music on the radio. But I got busted because it was a podcast and it was going on Spotify, and I opened it with Hotel California. So I've been down that road before. It's not one you want to go down. They will come after you.
Yeah, whatever. I'm excited for Saturday, man.
We've now spent a lot of time without any keys to the game being given. So let's give a couple keys to the game here as we continue, roll on, and get back on the rails on this Wednesday edition of Locked On Badgers.
So, Asher, I wanted to take a lens with this and go into five statistics that'll define the game, because it's really the same conversation you have around this. To me, there are five key areas. When you look at Wisconsin, you look at Notre Dame, you look at the matchup, that Wisconsin just has to win if they're going to come away victorious on Saturday. The first one, pressuring the quarterback. And some of these are obvious, like you win football games if you pressure the quarterback. But given the context that we've talked about, with Notre Dame's tackles being turnstiles and not being good, I saw up at Fighting Irish Wire, our colleagues over there, they said on the new Notre Dame depth chart for this week, there's actually an or designation at left tackle. It's either Tosh Baker, who played last week, or Michael Carmody, who had played previously. It's just a position, Asher, that's not figured out, and they've been bad. So Wisconsin gets Leo Chanel back. I think he's going to play with his absolute hair on fire, because not only – did he miss the first couple of weeks? Like he just hasn't played football since Wake Forest. So Wisconsin's front seven as a whole, Isaiah Mullins, Henningsen, Keanu Benton, Herbig Burke, Sanborn, Chanel. I mean, that's a dominant front seven. I think it's one of, if not the best in the Big Ten. And they have a winnable matchup now in terms of pressuring Cone. And we watched Cone play for a year and a half. We know what happens when he gets pressured and his rhythm is thrown off. So that's first and foremost for me. And it's a battle I think the Badgers can win.
Cone reminds me in that way a little bit of a Jared Goff, where you watched him last night, Ben, and when he was comfortable, it was because he had 25 seconds to throw the ball. They also look a little bit similar mechanically in some ways, actually. Some of their throws look a little bit similar to me. Anyway, he had all day yesterday, right, in that first half, to just sit there, make any read he wanted to, and just literally spend 20 seconds in the pocket. And if Cone can do anything close to that, Wisconsin's in a lot of trouble, because he's a more accurate passer 15-plus yards down the field than people give him credit for. Everybody gives him credit for being that short, accurate thrower, but he's a better accurate thrower than that. He's actually pretty good and accurate going down the field as well, especially when he has time. Not the most elusive guy in the world, but somebody that – but, hey, a little bit more elusive than people think as well. But somebody that definitely, if you get to him, it changes a lot, because he's a rhythm guy, and most quarterbacks are, and he's a rhythm thrower, and he's a guy that will rely on sitting in the pocket. And when you're a rhythm thrower that sits in the pocket, that sprays the ball around, and especially when you're playing, Ben, a defense that nobody's shown the ability to run against for a long time, like not just this year, even last year, barely showed the ability to run against this defense. When Wisconsin got torched last year, it was still pretty much through the air, mostly. And that continues back to 2019. That continues back to 2018. That's a Jim Leonard staple over the past 4 or 5 years since we've been in Madison, Ben. So if you can't run and you're getting pressure, where does Notre Dame go?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I kind of like that Goff comp, especially just in terms of rhythm. Because, I mean, they are different quarterbacks in obviously their arm talent and a lot of other things. But just in terms of pure like pocket statue, if you will, even though Cone's a little more athletic than that, the rhythm plays such a big part in their success.
Goff's an accurate thrower as well, who isn't great with a hand in his face.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. So you just mentioned my second stat / second key. It's Kyren Williams, Notre Dame running back, his yards per carry. We know Jim Leonard's defense is awesome against the run. How they, I mean, they even shut down Noah Cain in that game against Penn State. He had one big chunk run in the second half, I think 34 yards. He had 50-ish, 51-ish total yards. I think if you take that one run away, he's down in the teens Like, they were tremendous up front against Penn State. Kyren Williams is better than Noah Cain. He's one of the best backs in the country. 46 carries on the year, Asher. 211 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4.6 yards a carry, and a lot of production through the air. But listen to this. So on Saturday against Purdue, I was mentioning how Notre Dame found those big strikes. He had this is for his whole year, not only Purdue, but it includes a chunk play from that. I just mentioned his yearly stats, but that broken down, two of those carries went for 94 yards. The remaining 44, Asher, 2.6 yards a carry. 45 of his rushing yards have come on two carries this year. A huge touchdown against Purdue, like a Marshawn Lynch type run was one of them. So, I mean, this is it all goes down to the Notre Dame front, but it's one that has struggled to create holes for him. I'm not putting that on him. That's Notre Dame's front not giving him much of a chance, but that's another winnable matchup for Leonard. And this ties back to Cone as well, because they play a similar concept to try to get Cone into advantageous situations. They try to pound Williams on first and second down, get Cone into a third and five, third and six, where like those are the situations he's so good at. So that Kyren Williams yards per carry is going to be huge, because they can shut him down like they shut Noah Cain down and get pressure on Jack Cone, which is the sentence you said like 5-6 minutes ago. Like that's how they absolutely shut out the Notre Dame offense with something I will get to later.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 100% welcome bonus to bet on all things football, Ben. Wisconsin -5.5 right now against Notre Dame over at BetOnline.ag. That's a lot of points for a game that I think we all feel is going to be relatively even on paper.
I think they need to listen on Friday to see how I feel about that, because I have a strong feeling, Asher.
So do I. Actually, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on to get a 100% welcome bonus when you sign up. 100% welcome bonus. So that's doubling your initial deposit right away just by signing up with the promo code locked on, all caps, no spaces. Locked on is the promo code. Back to keys to the game as we get ready for Wisconsin and Notre Dame. Quick primer for the week, because we just teased it a little bit with that BetOnline.ag read. We got Nick Shepkowski coming on tomorrow. He is the man over at Fighting Irish Wire, site editor for USA Today Sports' Notre Dame coverage. And on Friday, Ben already teased it a little bit, but not only will we pick the game against the spread and tell you why, we'll also just kind of tell you how each of us feel this game goes, who plays well, just predicting the game as a whole.
Asher, my third key to the game, I'm not going to say it. If I said to you, as someone who covers Wisconsin and knows what's been happening with this team, what do you think the biggest thing for this Badger team is? What have they struggled the most with through 2 weeks? Because it's obvious.
Handing the ball off.
Well, that plays into it, but
The red zone.
Yeah. It sounds so obvious, but it's how they lost week one.
I want to stop talking about this forever. I hope this week puts this to bed.
So badly. Oh, I need Mertz to throw for 2 or 3 touchdowns and just shut everyone up, including myself and including us.
Oh yeah, we do it a lot. I'm my own worst enemy there. I do it all the time. Talk about that. Yeah. As an issue.
But numbers wise, Asher, through 3 halves of football, we're taking away the second half against Eastern Michigan, Wisconsin, 9 of their 18 offensive drives reached the red zone. And we know that only one of the first 5 was put in for 1 of 4 against Penn State, obviously lost in the game. And then you have that snafu on the goal line, the Mertz tripping Malusi, and then they get stopped against Eastern Michigan. It's just been like you lose games. That's like, it's simple math. 3 or 0 is significantly less than 7 in the grand scheme of it. So if Wisconsin isn't scoring touchdowns on at least 60 to 70% of their red zone possessions, I borderline even more.
I'll stop you right there, Ben. 60 to 70% touchdowns is what you're asking for. They've scored on 50% of their red zone possessions. Scored. I'm not talking about touchdowns. I'm talking about any points. Yep. 50%, 5 of 10 right now in the red zone in terms of scoring a point.
And that includes Braylon Allen's touchdown. So you take that away when the game was over, and it's even worse. So, I mean, one, they're obviously not going to win, but it's just something that this team will not – be able to actually go places until they figure that out.
Yeah, 100%. Completely agree there. A couple keys on my end, Ben. I think that two of the three running backs being extremely productive is important. It's not just about Malusi. I think Wisconsin needs either Berger or Isaac Grundo to be really good, if not break open one or two big, big runs. And I'm not sure who it's going to be. Heck, it could be Grundo and Berger. You never know. Although I think Malusi is going to get more carries than both combined. So it's just likely that one of those two will have to step up and be that next guy. We know how many Berger is going to get, right? 15. Is it already a lock?
I have a question for you. If there was a line out right now that said Jalen Berger over under 15 carries, would you take the push? Because I think I would.
I would take the push.
Yeah, I would take the exact push.
He's on a snap count. He's
on a pitch count. It's five games, Asher.
Yeah, he's on a pitch count. 15 carries. You know the deal. You know the drill.
That's
a big one for me. That's a big one for me. A second running back stepping up, as we saw against, yes, Eastern Michigan. How much can we take it seriously? I don't know. But all four running backs played really well in that game, by my estimation. And I don't think Wisconsin had the offensive line play to, and obviously didn't have Jalen Berger in week one to make that a difference, the running game a difference, because the running game was good. It just wasn't great enough to be, you know.
There's not a sideshow going on.
So hopefully there's no sideshows going on. All three of them can play. All three of them get their double-digit carries. And Wisconsin runs the football effectively with two of the three, at least, because three of the three also could play well. All three of those guys could have big games. But you know where it starts for Wisconsin's offense. We can talk about Mertz all day. We can talk about the red zone all day. It starts with running the damn ball.
Asher, I think this lines up to be a big Jalen Berger game. I just feel it.
And we'll get into that on Friday, but I agree. He's one of the guys, I think, that's going to have his biggest game of the three so far. I think he's going to have his best game of the season.
As I said on yesterday's episode, the guy to watch on that Notre Dame defense defending the run, Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa. He's been an absolute beast.
Found a way to get you to say that name again.
I'm saying it a lot because he's an absolute animal up front. Asher, here's a stat for you. Graham Mertz has started 9 games in college now. Do you know Wisconsin's record when he throws an interception?
I'm going to guess. Well, how many of them has he thrown an interception in?
Well,
7?
No, that 8? Would kind of ruin it. Asher, they're 0-4, which the math adds up. They are 5-0 when he does not throw an interception. Now, I'm going to group fumbles into this. I'm going to group failed handoffs and all those mistakes we saw. I mean, he simply just cannot throw the ball to Kyle Hamilton. That is how Wisconsin can even throw away a great performance on defense and great performance by the running back. Graham Mertz makes a boneheaded decision or two to Kyle Hamilton.
So speaking of Kyle Hamilton, Ben, I think I got the best Paul Chris quote of the season so far. The most Paul Chris quote talking about Kyle Hamilton. Here's the Chris quote from Monday's press conference. Quote, he's talented, right? My history is that you focus too much on one guy. And, you know, you want to rob Peter to pay Paul. What the hell?
You know, Asher, when you face a talented team.
That's the most Paul Chris thing. You want to rob Peter to pay Paul. I mean, he's talented, right?
A sideshow going on.
That's my favorite. Asher, you know, when you play a talented team, they're going to have some talented players, but you just appreciate the opportunity to have talent on your team to face their team. I just appreciate the opportunity to answer these questions.
You know, I know that this is a return game for Jack Cohn and all that, and that's going to be, you know, a big story for sure. A lot of excitement around that. It's another football game. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to do what I've done since I was a little kid, go out there and play some football and have some fun. I mean, it's another game. No different emotions. Nothing's different. It's another game of football in between the lines. Once I get out on that field, everything, all bets are off. You know what I mean?
That's a lot more than he usually gives. Asher, my final stat, which is one of my favorite going into the game, it ties back to week one, as so much of this does. Notre Dame against Purdue. I mentioned it. They were connecting on big plays. They had 3 touchdowns in the contest. A Kyren Williams 39-yard touchdown reception where it was 4th-and-3. He really just caught it and ran it. Avery Davis, 62 yards from Jack Cohn over the top. And then Kyren Williams, 51-yard rush. That is 3 touchdowns, which average over 50 yards away from the end zone. That's how they scored against Purdue. Purdue did a really good job on the line of scrimmage for the most part and shutting them down. And then, boom, they hit those big strikes. We saw Penn State do it to Wisconsin week one. Wisconsin was so good really in every facet of the game, except for giving up a couple big plays, which were backbreakers. So again, tying back to week one, what does Wisconsin have to do better? It's just not A, the coverage gaps. I think they have to keep a safety high pretty much the whole game because Avery Davis can run by him. And Cone likes to throw those boundary routes that a safety could in theory get there to cover. But it's the Notre Dame big plays that even if you play so well against their offense, they could still hit you with them.
And the safeties can't get completely lost on a play or two, Ben. You can have the safety high, but that safety needs to communicate, make sure somebody tracks a Jahan Dotson-like receiver going long because Wisconsin, like you said, had a couple of those mishaps in week one that ended up costing them the game. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar in the game. 9 delicious flavors. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There is something for absolutely everyone. And you can get every single flavor I just mentioned in a Built Bar mixed box. You get 2 of each of those 9 flavors. Every bar packed with 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs, all tasty, all healthy, 9 amazing flavors. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. 15% off your first order. LOCKED15 is the promo code at BuiltBar.com for 15% off your first order. LOCKED15. Today's episode is also brought to you by Prize Picks. Fantasy football, fantasy sports in general, Ben, made easy. So it's daily fantasy, sure, but it's not just normal daily fantasy. What Prize Picks does is they offer you college football props, NFL as well, you know, NBA as well, but we're talking college football here. College football props. You can pick 2 to 5 players, and Ben, instead of picking them and just having them calculate points, you are playing against the computer. You're not playing against another person. You're playing against that computer number of what they're projected to get over under on a certain value. So say it's Graham Mertz throwing over under 200 yards, Ben, against Notre Dame. You can take that over or under at Prize Picks, and all you have to do is name your odds at Prize Picks, and if you win, you win. You're playing against that over under projection. Prize Picks is safe, offers fast withdrawals. Entry can be made in 60 seconds or less. You can even combine sports. Heck, you could take Mertz and Rodgers' overs together this weekend if you wanted to.
You want a pro pick for this weekend? Jack Sanborn plus Leo Chanel over everything.
Jack, you heard it here first. Doesn't matter what they're over. Over absolutely anything for Jack Sanborn and Leo Chanel. PrizePicks.com or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks. Daily fantasy made easy. Let's close, Ben, with any final thoughts on keys to the game and then get into a little bit about Quintez Cephas' career tonight because we got to talk about it. Monday Night Football, Packers got the win, thankfully. They needed it and they got it. And Quintez Cephas on the other side of the ball with the Lions absolutely balled out.
Final thoughts. I don't have any now, but I will give my final thoughts on what I think will happen on Friday. The more I look into it, Asher, I just think there are so many ways for Wisconsin to win the game as I'm outlining up front, even with their offensive line, but there are also so many opportunities and places where they can lose the game. I see this, like the narrative so similar to Penn State. So we'll see what they do. And a lot of it obviously falls on the quarterback.
A lot of it does fall on the quarterback. And that could probably be said about not just Wisconsin side, Notre Dame side as well. And the quarterback battle is the story, Ben. I know.
Who's their quarterback?
I don't know. Is it Danny Vandenboom?
I think I need to go check their depth chart quickly. I'll check it out.
Check it out. Get back to me. But first, we'll talk about Quintez Cephas before you go check that
depth. Oh, it's Jack Cone.
Quintez Cephas, Ben, went off last night. And it was all pretty much on the first drive. Had the opening touchdown, torched Kevin King. Sorry, Packers. That's probably a triggering name right now. But hey, I rooted for the Packers last night, but I also rooted for Quintez. And we went 2 out of 2 there. Quintez had a great game, had 4 catches, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Ben, those numbers, both career highs for Quintez Cephas. Jared Goff and him forging a nice connection. He also almost had the greatest catch of all time.
That's what I want to talk about. So, I mean, first of all, Packer fans, Eric Stokes is better than Kevin King anyway. So at least that's a good sign. If Kevin King's helmet, now I don't want to go on a Kevin King rant, but man, if his helmet was not just perfectly positioned to keep Cephas from bringing that ball in, that would have been the greatest catch in NFL history. I have no problem saying that. Odell did it. It was cool. But guess what? There was nobody touching him. Quintez Cephus was double covered going up over two dudes and almost brought it in over them.
You know why?
It was insane.
You know why he didn't bring it in?
Why?
Because he runs a 6 second 40.
Oh, yeah. It's the 40 time. It's fifth round pick. What a joke. What an absolute joke.
Couldn't bring it in. I don't know how he fell that deep. But hey.
Well, the Lions finally do something right and they bring in this dude. I mean, all he does is play well.
Yeah, he barely played a ton, obviously, because of the issues he had at Wisconsin. We know the stories. Don't have to go back into those. And yet every time he was on the field, he dominated in the biggest games too, Ben. He was best in the biggest games.
Yeah. Those two catches on that drive against Minnesota, mm-hmm. Wisconsin's up, I believe, 10-7. Like, it is a tightly contested game. Wisconsin's backed up. And he just goes deep over the middle. So I think for some reason they put a linebacker on him, which, you know, probably doesn't work well. But, hey, you might want to because he runs an 8-second 40. Cone drops it in the bucket. Wisconsin moves a little more. And then that deep ball. Oh, no, it was to the sideline first. Excuse me. The first one was to the sideline. The second one was over the middle, over the linebacker. I mean, those are two of my favorite plays from the last, like, 3 or 4 years watching Wisconsin football.
As always, Ben, on Wisconsin, we will see you guys on Thursday with a crossover episode featuring FightingIrishWire.com's Nick Shipkowski. And then on Friday, because Ben and I both feel very strongly about this line and this game, we will give you our predictions for Wisconsin and Notre Dame.